Bristol Bay, you've crossed the million sockeye harvested mark. One down, 26 more to go. The Nooshigak Kings are showing, and a mysteriously huge push of reds surged up the Nooshigak and Wood Rivers. It's Friday, June 23rd. I'm Dave Benninger. Very glad to have you on board with us tonight. Coming up, shutdown averted.
We expect to get the budget to the governor here in the next couple of days. The full expectation is that it will be signed by the governor and in place so that there will be no government shutdown and business can continue on as it should be this summer.
House Speaker Bryce Edgman joins for the latest from Juneau, where a bit of political brinksmanship was threatening your season till last night. Some of the Area M fleet have moved over to the North Peninsula, landing good catches near Port Muller. Before they got there, Lisa Fox says they were having a pretty good start in the South Penn fisheries.
As far as sockeye harvest, we are a little bit ahead of the rest of the last 10 years by, about 3 or 4 days.
We'll take a ride along with a Dillingham police officer keeping an eye on you knuckleheads, and a longtime West Side drifter reflects on the early years.
I didn't know nothing as far as running a boat, literally. I mean, it was a trial and error. What I did know how to do was pick fish.
That's all coming up on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support comes from Bristol Bay Brailler, thanking customers for purchasing brailers, slush bags, and net bags from a local family-owned company, measuring and building gear for a perfect fit. Orders for next season at 907-469-0782 or online at bristolbaybrailler.com.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. Time now for your daily summary of the run by the numbers. Ugashik set net harvest was not reported yesterday due to the number of buyers. Season total there stands at 7,400 sockeye. Ugashik River counts have not started yet, expecting to have those by early next week. Total run to the Ugashik District, 7,400 out of a season forecast of 5.4 million, with a harvest expected of 4 million fish. Igigik District catch Thursday was 177,000 sockeye, season total 580,000, about 8 million more to go. Igigig River escapement Thursday, 12,000 fish. Season total now 133,000. Total run to the district, 712,000 sockeye. Naknek Quijack early effort put another 7,000 sockeye on the books yesterday. 36,000 is the season total. Naknek River escapement, just 6,000 fish. Season total there, 13,000. Quijack River counted its first 162 sockeye yesterday. Millions more on the way. The Nooshigak District puzzling the biologists. Nice opening harvest of 518,000 sockeye. District season total 533,000, which includes set net effort from Igushik, which is still confidential until the third buyer starts buying there. Enormous fish passage occurred on the west side Thursday. Portage Creek sonar counting 295,000 sockeye, pushing the Nooshigak season total escapement comfortably to its midpoint of 580,000 through yesterday. A welcome 10,600 kings were counted past the sonar, bringing the Nooshigak season total there to 15,000. Wood River, 146,000 reds counted past the tower Thursday, and another 14,000 before 6 a.m. this morning. Season total in the Wood River now 320,000 sockeye, closing in on the lower end of its goal. Igushik Tower, still no counts. Togiak catch Thursday, about 500 fish. Season total less than 4,000. Togiak Tower, still no counts. Bristol-Bay's total Thursday catch was 702,000 sockeye, season total now 1.15 million. 460,000 sockeye were counted as escapement yesterday, 1 million total counted up the rivers to spawn this season. Total run to Bristol-Bay, 2.2 million, out of a preseason forecast of 41.5 million. The average sockeye per drift delivery by district: Ugashik, no fishing; Igigik, 530; Naknek Quijack, 46; Nooshigak, 635; Togiak, 25 fish. We'll look at the allocations tomorrow in the numbers, and we'll have the permit and vessel registrations coming up later in this program. That's a rundown of the Bristol Bay numbers. Elsewhere, the Area M fleet had three consecutive good days, landing 285,000, mostly in the outer Port Hyden sections. And on the blue sheet, 4 million sockeye have been bought out of Alaska waters so far this summer. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, back in a moment.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Thanks for staying tuned in here tonight on AM 670 and online. We appreciate your feedback, messages to the fleet, song requests, and more. Shoot an email to us at fish@kdlg.org or give us a call here anytime at the station. Still waiting on some port molar numbers. Not likely to get those or the interpretation by tonight, says Dr. Scott Rayborn. Should have that for you on our weekend program tomorrow at 1:30. Bristol Bay District registration listings were reported earlier today. Starting in Ugashik, 70 permits registered to fish, adding three more in 48 hours. In Ugashik, 52 vessels, adding three more in 48 hours, 18 are D boats. Igigik, 446 permits registered to fish today, expecting to add one more in 2 days. 350 vessels, adding one more in 2 days, 96 D boats there. Naknek Kwejak, 159 permits registered to fish, staying the same in 48 hours. 141 vessels, 18 D boats. Nooshigak, 534 permits registered to fish this district, expecting to go up to 550 in 48 hours. 410 vessels, expecting to climb to 424 in 48 hours. 124 D boats currently, adding two D boats in 2 days. Total permits registered to fish as of this morning, 1,230 drift permits. 20 more expected in 2 days, 974 vessels registered, going to 992 in 2 days, 256 D boats, adding two more in 2 days. Well, Area M's South Pen took off in a hurry this season, but those catches have slightly tapered as some of that fleet heads to the other side to fish under Bob Murphy's North Pen areas. Lisa Fox manages the South Pen Herring and Salmon Fisheries for the state of Alaska, and I called her just earlier this afternoon to see how things have been going there.
Yeah, we had a couple really good days early on. We're sitting at 1.5 for the season so far.
And this is mainly coming out of the South Unimak and Shumigin Island fisheries, is that correct?
Yeah, right now we've got the South Unimak and Shumigin Island June fisheries for June for set gillnet gear and seine and drift gear. And then we've had a couple short openings for set gillnet gear in the southeastern district mainland. But the majority of the harvest has come out of the South Unimak, and there's a couple really good days in the Shumigin Islands, too.
How do you translate the season so far? Has it been about on time and about the size you'd expect, or was it early and big?
As far as sockeye harvest, we are a little bit ahead of the rest of the last 10 years as far as harvest goes by, about 3 or 4 days. But the volume, it could taper off and it could be about an average year, but it's looking pretty good. So far, I haven't seen any real big declines.
Fish size is proving to be okay this year?
Well, sockeye seem to be right around the same size as average. And, this year we're getting, it's kind of seems like a more normal year this year. The pinks that are being caught aren't in very high volume and they're not very large in size either. Chum salmon, it seems like there's been a few days where there's been bigger chums coming through, but nothing totally unusual.
With the pinks, you're up to, looks like, about 625,000 on the books. What kind of year are you expecting? And I don't think you're seeing the fluctuation or variability that appeared last year with a really early push, and then they just disappeared everywhere around the state.
Yeah, you know, the forecast for Pink's is pretty strong, and we haven't gotten into the aerial surveys yet to see if anything's shown up in the streams. But coming off that 2015 year, there's got to be some fish coming back from that. And, you know, there's been some sign of Pink's, but it's just too early to tell quite yet.
The fleet out there, I understand a lot of them go from the June fisheries in South Unimak and Shumigan over to Bob Murphy's jurisdiction there around Port Moeller. Looks like they've started catching over there. Where's the effort now for the next couple of weeks?
As far as the South Pen goes, yeah, a lot of the drift fleet did move around to the north side. And the folks that are sticking around here, the Seinen drift fleet and the set netters, they're pretty highly mobile. I know the Seiners are going to be sticking around the Shumigan Islands mostly, some out of King Cove too. And the set netters, you know, I hear more from set netters up this side towards the Shumigans, but they'll be around the Shumigan Islands out by Nagai, and then if there's any more mainland openers, they'll switch over and try to fish on the mainland while there's opportunity there. The only other thing that's going on is, you know, we're waiting for Chignik to open their fishery, and if they go harvest some more fish, then we can have some more opportunity on the mainland here. And then we do have a new management plan as of the 2016 board year for the Dolgoi Island area. And there's a harvest limit of 191,000 sockeye in that area. And we're sitting at just about 100,000 right now. So if that hits the limit, then we'll close some of that area. But, yeah, that's about it for South Bend.
Well, it seems like everybody's getting a fair bit of opportunity and fish showing up as they ought to. So far, a good season, I suppose. Lisa Fox, thanks so much for the update on Area M South Bend salmon fishing.
Yep, yeah, no problem. You have a good day.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by generous support from Bristol Bay Native Corporation, following a Fish First policy to sustain and promote the economic and cultural value of wild Alaska salmon in the Bristol Bay watershed.
The Port Moeller test fishery numbers are in now in time for our 6 o'clock broadcast. Raw count totals in the 4.5 today, 30 and 17 and the 5 and an 8th, but a lot of that catch coming from station 14. By station here, station 2, 0 in the 4.5 and 0 in the 5 and an 8th. Station 4, 1 and 2. Station 6, fish 22 minutes, 0 and 2. Station 8, 0 and 0. Station 10, 0 and 1. Station 12 had 3 and 5 fish, fishing 19 minutes. And there at station 14, furthest offshore, 26 and 7. Way out there in station 14, Dr. Scott Rayborn may weigh in tomorrow on whether or not those fish might have something to do with that large component showing up in the Nooshigak district. One skipper out fishing this nice early push in the west side is Snooks Moore of Homer, who is in her 33rd year fishing the bay. KDLG's Nick Shalino introduces us.
Snooks Moore has fished in Alaska all her life. She's short and wiry and looks extremely vital for her age. She grew up picking fish at her family's set net site in Cook Inlet in the 40s, delivering fish to the old Libby McNeil and Libby cannery in Kenai.
When I was young, we still used logs to roll the skiffs up and had a tractor on the beach. Delivered part of the fish out to a scow and part of it to the beach. The Libby McNeil and Libby was a big part of our lives, the canneries were.
Now Moore captains the fishing vessel Razor's Edge. She has been fishing in Bristol Bay since 1984 and got her first fishing boat from her husband in 1970.
I didn't know nothing as far as running a boat, literally. I mean, it was a trial and error. And what I learned is the guys my age, a lot of them were college kids coming up and stuff like that. A lot of them didn't know anymore. What I did know how to do was pick fish. And evidently, I had a pretty good sense of where to find them.
Moore has employed many members of her family on the Razor's Edge over the years, but this is the first year her great-grandson Braden will be aboard working as a deckhand. He's 11 years old.
I'm ready to pick some fish. It's going to be hard, but I'm excited for it.
Moore says she is pleased with the direction the fishery is headed, but adds it's not as lucrative to fish in Bristol Bay as it was in the 80s, and it's more expensive to get started if you want to buy a boat. She says women looking to fish commercially should not be intimidated by the majority male industry.
Remember, the guys don't know any more than you do. They think they do, but they don't.
After more than 30 years in the bay, Snooks Moore says she likes this season's forecast. She says the Razor's Edge is ready to fish, despite her spending $12,000 for metal fabrication work that did not get done as expected in the off-season. I'm Nick Schellino, KDLG News.
There was some legitimate concern about a state government shutdown that could have ended this fishery a week from today. Late last night, Alaska's House and Senate in their second special session hammered out a deal to avert that. Bryce Edgman from Dillingham is a Democrat and Speaker of the House and spoke with me earlier today. Mr. Speaker, thanks for making time for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Can you offer the latest?
Well, last night, the legislature, both the House and Senate, did pass an operating budget, which will get to the governor within a couple of days. Per the administrative work that goes into actually putting the budget together. And so the shutdown will be averted, the government shutdown. And so everybody is mightily relieved that that has taken place. And so at this point, a few other things are on the table, but we got the operating budget out of the way. And again, everybody is very pleased to have gotten that taken care of.
A little bit of brinksmanship towards the end, or why was the deadline so close here?
Well, you know, it all relates to the difficult fiscal environment that Alaska is in and the very painful choices in terms of budget deficits and seeking new revenues and oil tax credit reform and all that just sort of mixed into this great big cauldron of competing political interests and forces and all of the above. So it's been a very difficult session, a very contentious session. And at this point, I think the legislature is going to stand down for some time, work with the governor, and we have more work to do on the capital budget. And I think the governor may at some point later on want the legislature to address fiscal measures. But again, for now, the operating budget is completed. And that's just an excellent first step and the necessary step we all knew we had to take.
Where will the money come from this year? As I understood from reading some things this morning, it looked like it would be another draw from the budget reserve. Is that correct?
Yes, very pertinent question. The legislature essentially is drawing down its main savings account by $2.5 billion to make up for the gap in the expenditures and revenues. And what's particularly worrisome about that action is that we have now drawn that account down to a level where there isn't a whole lot more to draw down. So I would suspect that next year, there'll be more attention paid towards looking at the earnings reserve, perhaps through restructuring into the endowment concept that the legislature's been talking about now for a couple of years. But, we're running out of money in Alaska, and oil revenues are not something that we can rely on like we once did. And so it's a paradigm shift, and I think that that main thread just sort of underscored and just repeated itself throughout a session that started way back in January, and here we are just a few days, about a week away from a potential government shutdown that's been averted now. But really, that theme is going to continue on this fall and in the next session as Alaska sort of fundamentally reconfigures how we paid for government services and, really how much government services we should have and other big fundamental questions.
You thought these questions would be answered better this session rather than next ahead of an election. Do you still have faith that some of those things could be taken up or maybe not for a while?
Well, I fully expect the legislature to be back in business between now and the end of the calendar year. And so there is a possibility that some of these other issues could be dealt with and largely be off the table as we circle into the 2018 and an election year cycle. And yes, I've been very consistent in saying that we should deal with all that this year in a non-election year and not have to make very, very difficult choices in a, you know, a more complicated political environment next year.
Any kind of a compromise like this, nobody's going to walk away with everything they want. What would you say the House is disappointed by, and what would your opinion be of what the Senate comes away disappointed by?
Well, you're right. Nobody got everything they wanted, that's for sure. But I think the House can be very pleased that all of the potential cuts to education, K through 12, were reversed. And so I think the school districts across the state are all breathing a sigh of relief. On the other hand, the House wanted to forward fund education. The Senate didn't, so we compromised on that. We don't have forward funding of education, which we have done in the past. And so there are a number of areas where you could say that the Senate got the nod and others where the House got the nod. But in the end, we did reach a compromise, and we all agreed get to that supermajority, a three-quarter vote in both House and Senate to tap into our one savings account, and we got it done.
Bryce Edgman is the Speaker of Alaska's House, which has reached an agreement to pass an operating budget, which should be on its way to the governor's desk, which should avert a government shutdown and allow the Bristol Bay fishery to continue its as normal. Is that the case, I believe, Bryce?
That is accurate. We expect to get the budget to the governor here in the next couple of days. He will, of course, need to review it himself. But the full expectation is that it will be signed by the governor and in place so that there will be no government shutdown and business can continue on as it should be this summer.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for joining us on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report tonight. We look forward to seeing you back in town.
Very good. And Dave, I look forward to seeing you in a few days. And I'm looking forward to a break.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Nothing in the mailbag tonight. If you'd like to get a hello out there to the fleet, drop us a line at fish@kdlg.org and we'll share it here on the air. We take song requests for after the show that way as well. In sports news, the Seattle Mariners beat the Detroit Tigers last night 9-6 to sweep the four-game series. Tonight, the Mariners will begin a three-game series against the Houston Astros. First game starting off at 10 o'clock, about an hour to go in the West Coast time. Mariners are 38-37 on the season, take second-place spot in the American League West. Seahawks defensive end Cassius March made headlines this week for attending a Magic the Gathering Grand Prix in Las Vegas. March made public his love for the card game last fall when he tweeted that his deck had been stolen. NCAA Baseball College World Series moved into Game 12 today. Oregon State faced Louisiana State University in Omaha, Nebraska. U.S. Track and Field Outdoor Championships began yesterday and will continue through Sunday in Sacramento. We'll bring you some pertinent headlines along there as well as you're straying from your internet connections this season. Finally, on tonight's Fisheries Report, at the start of each fishing season in our hub towns here, like Dillingham, there's a lot of excitement in the air and in the bars and in the boatyards. Last week, there were 9 incident reports in Dillingham, 11 people taken into protective custody because they were too drunk, 11 tickets, and 2 arrests. During one of those arrests, officers used a stun gun 3 times on one man resisting arrest. KDLG's Avery Lill rode along with the Dillingham police officer last Friday to get a piece of the action and came back with this report.
It was the last Friday before fishing started in the Nooshikak District. Fishermen and processors from around the state, country, and further afield descended on Dillingham to mend their nets, prep their boats, and get ready to catch salmon. Town was packed. I got to the police station to meet Officer Tanner Lowry at 10 p.m. When I arrived, he was out on a call. A report of a potential assault, which turned out to be nothing. When Lowry got back from the call, he led me through the station, Two other officers were there, one manning the front desk, one working on a report. It was still light when we headed out on patrol. We didn't even make it a mile down Lake Road, a 10-minute drive from station, before something caught Lowry's eye. An ATV on the road.
Here we go. We got something right here. If I can turn around and catch him.
As the ATV pulled to the side of the road, the driver gave an exaggerated shrug, as if to say, "What?" Beyond that, the interaction seemed pretty cordial from the passenger seat view. Lowry gave the driver a ticket, and we all continued on our way. An hour passed. As we drove, Lowry talked about wanting to be a cop since he was a kid. He graduated from the police academy in his hometown of Fairbanks 3 years ago and came straight to Dillingham. The biggest surprise for him was the amount of paperwork that comes with being a police officer.
Everyone says, but I'm like, nah, I can't put that much paperwork. There's a lot of paperwork. Every time we pull a case, we have to write every little detail of what we did during that whole case. So a big report can be easy, 15 pages of just writing. So it's really time consuming. A lot of us come in on our days off to write them because sometimes we just don't have time and we need to get them done in a certain period.
That situation is exacerbated by the fact that the Dillingham Police Department has had an unfilled position for a couple of years.
Just the less cops we have, the more hours we work. So it just changes.
We cruised from town to the school, to the airport, to the dump, and back.
I'm blown away of how we haven't had a call yet. I have been busy all week, constantly.
Lowry made a stop by the fireworks stand next to the water tower to make sure the doors were locked and the stand secure. Then, the same thing at the airport.
Dillingham 6, security check airport.
One quiet hour stretched to two, then three quiet hours tooling around town.
I'm glad it's dead. I'll go do a bar check. The bar, usually, they'll have you a fight maybe at the bar.
There were no fights, and no inebriates to take in for a night of protective custody. The roads emptied, and fewer people were walking down the hike and bike trail.
So far today, it has been a lot more chill, but stuff usually picks up just whenever. Usually on the weekends, some weekends it'll be nonstop the entire night. Just a freak accident. Like, yeah, Friday usually never chill. Like, the bar's more packed on Fridays than it is on Saturdays.
Finally, past 1 in the morning, Lowry did get a call about a man who refused to leave the Sea Inn bar downtown. When we got there, the other officer on duty was already there, and the inebriated man was in the parking lot. Lowry and the other officer talked to him, and the man yelled that he was within his rights to be there. That's technically true, since the bar's property line ends close to the door.
Because he's not doing anything but yelling at the bar, which isn't really... The bar's loud, so yelling at the bar isn't really a crime.
With some convincing, the man made his way home, and shortly afterward, I did too. One might expect the last Friday before fishing started, one of the longest days of the year, with town swollen to roughly twice its normal size, to be a little wilder. But it wasn't. No brawls, no signs of theft, not even a headlight out. A successful evening in terms of good behavior for the city of Dillingham. And while I didn't witness town's rowdier side, a quiet night did give a window into the rhythm of one cop's patrol, which can fluctuate between busy and not.
Like, if you were here on Thursday, Wednesday, it was nonstop since I got on till about midnight. It was just call after call after call, which consisted of a couple drunks passed out somewhere that they needed somewhere to go, a kid getting shot with a BB, a couple other calls, but really it's just random stuff happens.
And that's why they're out here on the streets, 24/7, 365 days a year, keeping an eye out in case something turns on a dime. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Will.
Before we go tonight, your marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay. West winds of 10 knots, seas at 1 foot. Tomorrow, southwest 10, picking up to 15, seas 3. Tomorrow night, west 15, becoming south 10 after midnight, seas 2. And Sunday's outlook right now, a little bit breezier, southeast 20 knots, seas 4. From Port Hyden to Cape Serichef tonight, south 15, seas 3. Tomorrow, southeast 25, seas 4. Tomorrow night, southeast 30, seas building to 6. And similar outlook for Sunday. Keep an eye on your tides this weekend, no matter what you're doing. Tonight on the Nooshigak River, a 9:15 low water down to minus 3 feet. High water at 3:45, 22.9. And low tide, 10:14 a.m. tomorrow, 5.6. Another big switch tomorrow night from a minus 3.3 up to a 23.7. Nooshigak River, very similar. Low water tonight at 9:42, minus 2.6. All the way up to a 23.7 at 4 a.m. and back to 4.8 tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Another big switch there tomorrow night. Igigig, same story. Keep in touch with feedback, story ideas, and more. You can reach any of the five news reporters on KDLG's staff by email, fish@kdlg.org, 907-842-5281. This show is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters, listeners, and you, the fishing fleet. I'm Dave Benninger. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
You're listening to KDLG, AM 670. Also heard on KNSA Ulnacleet.